Why me? Why me was like the second question that popped into my head when I woke up in the back of the ambulance, hard on the heels of, what just happened? The answer to the first, that I had had a heart attack, had prompted the second. I mean, I figured 62 was a bit on the young side, comparatively speaking. I didn't smoke. I wasn't too much overweight. I had low cholesterol. I worked out regularly at the gym. So why me? Why me must have been the question in the minds of both Shipra and Pua as they knelt trembling at the feet of the mighty Pharaoh. Humble midwives, charged with the daily and awesome responsibility of safely bringing into the world new life, of helping women through the arduous and painful process of childbirth, they are strangers to the halls of power and political intrigue. And yet here they are at the feet of the distant and all-powerful Pharaoh, the king over all Egypt. And here they find themselves tasked with the eradication of an entire race. Kill all the baby boys as they are delivered, orders Pharaoh. Horrible as these individual killings must be, more horrible still is the fact that because ethnicity was patrilineal for the Hebrews, meaning that descent came through the males, the killing of all males would in due time wipe out the entire race. Faced with this awesome and horrible charge, well might Shipra and Pua ask, why me? Why me was the question that haunted every waking moment for Liz, the mother of Kristen, a 3-month-old baby diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Liz spoke on WEEI's Jimmy Fund telethon, and I think a lot of cars must have pulled over as they heard her story. I know I did. It all started with what Liz thought was just a scratch on Kristen's eye, something any baby could do to herself. But before she knew it, they had gone from pediatrician to eye specialist to children's hospital to Dana-Farber. From what they thought was a minor scratch to what they hoped was a benign tumor to what they discovered was a lethal, malignant growth requiring chemotherapy and radiation. In a few short weeks, it went from a minor inconvenience to confidently moving through what they thought was routine surgery to the surreal nightmare of mentally planning their child's funeral. And then on to that first appointment at the Jimmy Fund Clinic at Dana-Farber, a visit which hardly starts auspiciously. There's a cute young boy in the waiting room there with them, fresh from some treatment or other, cuddling in his father's arm, who suddenly vomits all over his father's chest. Why me? Liz thinks over and over again, day after day, until one day it comes to her. Why not? Why not me? Why think that somehow I should be exempt from the ills and sufferings of this world? And why me? Maybe because I'm the mom who was going to help us get through all this. Maybe because I'm the mom who's always going to be there for this child. Maybe me because I'm the mom who's going to suck it up and fight this thing like it's never been fought before. Shipra and Pua, tempted to wail, why me, in the face of Pharaoh's demands. In their actions, echo Liz's response, why not me? Maybe like Esther, another Hebrew woman of faith long ago, maybe they had come to the king's attention for just such a time as this. Maybe they had come to this particular particular place and time and occasion to use all of their God-gifted skills and talents and experience, their intelligence, their wisdom, their craft, and their bravery to save not just baby boys, but an entire race. And so these two women of little seeming consequence, who knew and respected it and had faith in their God, find that they have been granted the ability to summon up the courage to disobey Pharaoh. And when called on the carpet by him to account for their failure to make a go of his genocidal plans, they find that they are up to the task. What they do is they concoct a story which plays off Pharaoh's racial prejudices. Racial prejudices, which, of course, are at the root of his scheme to bid Egypt of these immigrants. The problem, these women tell Pharaoh, the problem is that while Egyptian women are slim and delicate and beautiful, not muscular at all, since they are, of course, weighted on hand and foot as befits such a noble race, they need the help of midwives to deliver their young. But the Hebrew women, because they work all the time, they're so strong that they have the babies even before the midwives can get there. Shipra and Pua and Liz, they all have the right stuff, the courage to stand up for what is right, even in the face of the most daunting of circumstances. In the story which follows immediately after this, Moses' sister is cut from the same cloth. You recall this story. His mother had hid Moses until he was 3 months old, fearing that Pharaoh would have him thrown in the Nile. And then she realizes at some point that this baby is going to be discovered because he's just getting too noisy. So she concocts a plan to float Moses in a little ark of salvation on the Nile, right under the nose of Pharaoh's daughter, in the hope that something miraculous would happen. Pharaoh's daughter falls for it hook, line, and sinker, sees the crying baby in the basket, and takes pity on him. But it takes more than pity to seal the deal. There are practical consequences to picking up a baby out of the Nile. Anyone who has a pet knows this. Bringing home the puppy is only the start, but how do you feed it? How do you care for it? The practicalities can be overwhelming, even more so if you're thinking of plucking a child out of the Nile. So up steps Moses' sister, and she boldly walks up to Pharaoh's daughter. She passed all the attendants and eunuchs in the court. Picture your daughter or granddaughter, whatever the case might be, walking past Secret Service agents to speak directly to Baron Trump. And in a sentence, she ensures the survival of her brother, the one who someday will be used by God to bring the Hebrew people up out of captivity in Egypt. She says, "Do you want me to go and get a nursing mother from the Hebrews so that she can nurse the baby for you?" The light bulb goes on. Pharaoh's daughter realizes that the practicalities of this adoption have been taken care of, and so of course she adopts little Moses. And then she hires this Hebrew mother to nurse the child. Well, little does she know, it was Moses' birth mother, her real mother. And she gets paid for doing it. There may be times in our lives when we, like Shipra and Pua and Moses' sister, will find ourselves called to courageous action. Action that will affect many people. That may someday be written up in the annals of our people, that will become the stuff of stories passed down from generation to generation. I'm thinking here, just off the top of my head, of the members of this congregation who went up to the State House to push for more support for foster parents. I'm thinking for those who went to Beacon Hill in support of marriage equality. I'm thinking of those who some years ago bravely took abuse for standing down at the airport rotary seeking support to stave off a war of choice in Iraq. But there will also be many times in our lives when we, like Liz, the mother of little Kristen, we'll find ourselves called to a courageous action on a much more mundane level. Courage is what the teenager ready to go off to college for freshman year needs as she anxiously contemplates leaving the nest for the first time, moving in with a complete stranger, finding herself in an alien environment among thousands of people she does not know. Courage is what the bereaved spouse needs, facing life without their helpmate of a half a century, contemplating the move from the comfort and certainty and memories of a single family home to a retirement village or an assisted living facility. Courage is what the stay-at-home mother needs, sending her last child off to school, wondering what life holds for her now, what will occupy the hours and days previously devoted so that the rising generation might be cared for. A character in a book I read defined courage this way. Courage is the ability to be braver than the person standing next to you for an extra 3 minutes. I like that definition. It's short, practical, and usable. And yet, truth be told, I often find it hard to be as courageous as long as the person next to me. Never mind for 3 minutes longer. Despite my checkered background in the law, I don't like conflict. I'm not big on sticking my neck out. I don't relish being the nail that sticks out so much, just asking to be hammered. My problem by nature is not one of being braver for 3 extra minutes. It's being brave at all. And so I like better, and I find even more useful, the definition of courage brought to us by the lives of the biblical Shipra and Pua and Liz of the inadvertent Jimmy Fund fame. Because courage as portrayed there is not something that one is born with or that is or is not part of our fundamental nature. Courage is something of God. God's hands are all over that short account of the Hebrew midwives and the miraculous adoption of Moses, as indeed they are all over the book of Exodus as a whole. It's not by accident or inadvertence that Moses is safeguarded and the people are saved, but because of the involvement of God in the life of the people. As one author puts it, the oppressive hand of Pharaoh may be strong, but the redemptive hand of God is stronger still. Courage, courage that we can rely on, courage that will endure, courage that will see us through whatever challenges comes our way, is rooted in a faith that if God is for us, who can stand against us? That courage rests on the bedrock of the one who came to us, lived among us, died for us, and rose again so that we might rise to new life also, Jesus Christ. That courage is rooted in the belief that, as Paul the Apostle assures us, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. That courage is sustained by the hope we share in God, by the partnership we share with God, whose character is marked by a faithful, steadfast, enduring love for us, a love now, a love forevermore. In times of trouble, when we look up to the hills and see trouble all around, when we are tempted to say, "Why me?" we can remember that our help now and always is in the Lord. We can remember, and so we can have courage.